How about this idea of Chicago boring a big tunnel underneath the city out to O'Hare, and we'll all get in these tram-like cars, maybe 12, 15, 20 of us, and whoom, that thing will just zip along underground, not in anybody's way, at 100 miles an hour. You get off a plane at O'Hare, you get on this car, and you're downtown in 12 minutes for half the cost of a taxi ride. And when I first saw that, I thought, okay, $25, I'll do it. And then it dawned on me, they could charge $25 more than the cost of a taxi ride because the taxi ride's going to take you an hour and a half. If you can do it in 12 minutes, they could charge a premium. The value is not the discount. The value, if you ask me, would be in the speed. So if a cab is $45, this should be, in my world, $70, and I think they'd make their nut, or 45. If they can do it for 25 and make it economically viable, let's go. I'm ready to start digging tomorrow. Yesterday, Brenda and I decided to leave our humble abode near Wrigley Field. We came down Lakeshore Drive about 3 in the afternoon, which is about the dumbest thing a person can do. We connected to the Stevenson and drove out to Joliet to see my folks. We had a swell time when we got there, 2 hours and 10 minutes after we left, because the traffic was crawling along, and it did not open up much, even after Midway. And I thought about you sitting in your car, because here I am, comfortably talking on the radio, and life is good, but you are crawling along, and it sucks, and this is no way for us to live. I say we bore tunnels not just from downtown to the airport, but let's just go right under the five major interstates that we've got here. Let's go into the Stevenson and the Dan Ryan. Let's put tunnels under there with tram cars. Elon Musk can have the keys to the city if he wants. James Hamilton is in the studio. I'm saying this to annoy him, by the way. He's an assistant professor of civil and environmental engineering at Northwestern University. Thanks for coming in. How are you, James?
I'm good. Thanks for having me in here.
So, what's your connection to a story like this? You're a professor of civil and environmental engineering. You study or know a little bit about boring and tunnels and underground stuff?
Yeah, that's right. So my connection is the study of soils and rocks and how they deform under loading. And we geotechnical engineers, we worry about everything. We worry about, are buildings going to lean excessively? Are they going to collapse? Tunneling through the ground, piling up waste, we do it all.
When they put up a skyscraper behind the Tribune Tower we are now, it's part of the reason we're leaving, new owners, and they're going to put up another tall building, maybe, 90, 100 stories high. Do they have to talk to somebody like you and go, is this going to stand up straight?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So our domain is everything that you don't see, everything that's below grade, as we say, below ground. And there's a lot of infrastructure that's down there. I mean, what keeps a skyscraper up is a lot of steel and a lot of concrete that's below ground, and you got to do it right. So we teach classes at Northwestern. I mean, we're a team up there, my colleagues and I, and we do research on these things, various dimensions.
Well, what could go wrong with my idea, with Elon Musk, no dummy, and the mayor said that it won't cost us anything. Okay, even I know that's not true, but what's wrong with boring a hole from downtown to O'Hare?
I suppose easier said than done is the phrase that comes to mind.
We're not doing it with spoons. Don't they have giant boring machines? Haven't you seen Ocean's 13 or whatever it was?
That's right. That's right. In fact, I'd forgotten about that entirely until today, but I'll have to go back and look at that. So everybody's got the mental image of a boring machine.
So tell me the problem with this.
Well, there really isn't a problem in terms of could we do it. The question really is at what cost how long is it going to take? So I think it's great. I think it's great to be thinking in this direction, and the vision that you just articulated and the vision that Elon Musk, I think, is a really good one that I support. There are going to be challenges in doing this. And why some of us in the geotechnical community are sort of giggling to ourselves, raising our eyebrows, and I'm probably one of the more reserved people, is we've been doing this for a really long time. This is not a new idea.
Elon Musk is not in this business.
That's right. Okay, so hopefully he's talking to
people.
What
do you know that he doesn't right now?
Yeah, well, I think we know a lot about tunneling. I mean, presumably he's been talking to...
Well, the machine's going to go round, 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 vroom, 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 scrape the rocks out of the earth.
Right.
And then they're going to put it on trucks, and they're going to drive it out and dump it in the lake or something. So what's wrong? What is not so simple about this?
Actually, the way that you're phrasing it now, I think we can do it. What's going to be a big challenge? What's going to be a big challenge going from O'Hare to downtown is, you know, what is underground between there, and hopefully somebody's done their homework and done
the investigation. In terms of existing infrastructure or kinds of rocks and soil?
You got to worry about what's above ground. If you're going to tunnel below the surface, you're going to cause the infrastructure that sits above ground to settle. That's a big concern when it comes to litigation and people getting angry. That's where causes a lot of these problems to get suspended.
Yeah, I suppose. Would you say this is true, though? Anything's possible. Like, if you have the time and energy and you want to keep that machine going, you can do it. It's just a matter of expense.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And what do you think this is going to cost?
Well, I'm reluctant to give a price tag to
a zillion,
somewhere in the neighborhood of a zillion,
but prohibitive.
Well, it depends on what we're willing to pay, I guess. I mean, it's difficult to imagine a scenario where taxpayers around here don't wind up shouldering part of the cost. I think that it's a great idea that private enterprise would just take it over. And this is where I'm speaking outside of my comfort zone, right? I mean, I can tell
the
you
politics
about what's
of
under
it.
Yeah, and decisions that we make.
I think two things. If the private sector can do it, and we give them the keys to underground, right? They're not ruining the landscape. There's nothing, ain't nobody else down there, presumably. You know, if they go deep enough, they're under the existing infrastructure and cables and whatnot. So they go down there, they dig a hole. If it's not going to harm anybody and they want to spend their time and money doing it, what do we care? And if they want to charge us for then the service of getting on those cars going back and forth, yeah. And if it's $50, $25, $65, check again. How did they do the tunnel in Boston, or whatever you call that big project?
Yeah, I wish that I could comment more on the details, but I think this was not private enterprise, and this is a good example of a project that had lots of surprises. I mean, lots of stakeholders, people who didn't like the fact that when they were putting in these tunnels, the buildings were settling. And,
oh, really? That
and
was a complication?
Machinery was going out of alignment. Oh,
really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this here... I'm just learning about the details of this plan now, but I mean, the plan is to go under I-90, go under the blue line, around the blue line, right? And this is public land, so maybe we're willing to accept some of these problems that things that were problems in other areas. But you know, we'll have to be really realistic.
How deep would it go? I wonder how
that's the question too. So I haven't seen the design concepts that have come out of this. And normally that's the process, is you decide, you know, how deep you're going to go. There's two ways to do it, really. I think, and off the top of my head, I don't know which is the way to do it, but you can go shallow. And in this case, we've got Chicago clays here. So you're going to do soft soil tunneling through the clay and probably run into some obstacles along the way, some rock to deal with. Or you could go really, really deep into the limestone. And in this vision of hopping in one of these pods and one of these skates and coming to the airport, I guess that's going to be a consideration.
How deep do we go? How deep is the clay? How deep is the limestone? What are you talking about?
So the clay is somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 100 feet. It's extremely variable. You know,
right.
So 30 feet, maybe 0 feet. At the I was speaking to my colleague, Professor Charles Dowding, at Northwestern University this morning, and apparently at Addison Station, which is where the blue line comes through, there's a outcrop of limestone right at the surface. So that would be something that would make it difficult. We have to get through. But not that we can't do it, but
all right. But if they said, okay, but we're going to go deep, we want to go into the limestone and just do it there, how deep then are you?
Then you're talking about, say, you know, order of 100 feet, 100 plus feet, 150, 200 feet, something like that.
Yeah.
And getting up and down into it is going to be a consideration. I mean, I think it's great that we're exploring these ideas and that we're having this conversation.
Well, this
I think my message is let's pursue this and talk about how we're going
to
do this.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because when we spoke about it off the air, I thought you were more skeptical about the idea.
I think I'm skeptical, as many people are and many of my colleagues are, is the rosy picture that we're just going to jump in, we're going to tunnel 15 times faster than we've ever done before, and it's going to be cheap and it's going to be great. I mean, I think, one, there's a lot of expertise that in this area already. We do know how to tunnel. You know, I've got great colleagues, some of whom were at Northwestern not so long ago, who I've been in this business a long time. They know how to do it. That somebody's just going to come in and do it 15 times better, if that is sort of an extrapolation of the numbers that are being thrown around, that's a difficult thing to swallow. Well, I think if the end result is we get a tunnel, I mean, at no expense to the taxpayer, it's hard to imagine. That's the skepticism. It's hard to imagine that scenario. But I think I'm excited about the idea that we're going to build underground. I'm all for it.
You know, whenever you build like a stadium or something and the owner says, okay, I'll shoulder the cost of the stadium, but, you know, I need on and off ramps from the highway, and, you know, we need somebody to help us with this civic project or other, the parking, whatever. And so there's always a sort of a public cost. But I just think the good would so... Suppose the city decided to undertake it itself. Okay, that's too expensive. But I almost think we should shoulder some of the cost or pursue it because there's just... There's too many gerbils in this cage, man.
Speaking solely for myself as a taxpayer, I wholly agree with you. I mean, I think one of the brilliant aspects of this is that somebody's just doing it, right? That's what it took, is a little bit of initiative, a bit of ambition. We're just going to do this thing. And if it winds up costing me money, I don't think I have no objections.
How do you do it? Is it dynamite down there, or do you just like bury the machine and turn it on and it just starts spinning around?
Pretty much.
Like in the movie Ocean's 13.
Pretty much. What they didn't do in Ocean's 13 is focus on what was behind the machine that's doing the tunneling. So a big part of tunneling is putting up the supports that you need to keep the tunnel in place afterwards. And
what do you
thinking
mean?
About
you mean
that.
From collapsing?
Exactly, yeah.
You mean building up the beams and infrastructure to hold it up?
And that's certainly true at the shallow levels. If you're going to go through clay, then you really have to do a good job controlling, putting up some the tunnel liner, as we call it. And
well, is there sort of an understood, like, say it's about 17 miles from downtown as the crow flies to O'Hare. I don't even think it's that far. What would the... Do those machines have a sort of... known how many inches, feet, miles per day they can grind away?
Yeah, they do. And I wish that I was actually trying to chase those numbers for you earlier today. I couldn't find it, or I should say we again. We were looking at what information is out there. If you go in limestone, this was the one that is verifiable, and this is a fact that my colleague Professor Dowding handed to me before coming here today, is limestone, you can go pretty fast. And we've done that in Chicago. So we have these deep tunnels in Chicago. You can move hundreds of feet per day.
Well, the deep tunnel project, you mean? The water management?
That's right. That's right. So 100 feet per day there, you can do it.
Really?
Yeah,
100 feet a day? Okay. Well, hold on a second.
And now let me just qualify that by saying, is that really the plan, is to go into limestone?
Well, I mean, let's just give it a shot. All right, I have to take a break. But I'm going to multiply 100 feet all the way out to O'Hare.
We can do the calculation.
And I'm going to have the calculation for you in just minutes. We just did some fancy calculation here, and I'm encouraged by what we've come up with. Some of you have questions, comments, and observations as well. This texter said, hey, John, how long would it take for people to wait for the next vehicle at the station? And they said minutes. I mean, Elon Musk and Mayor Emanuel are promising you that not only will it not cost any money for the taxpayers, but that the cars would be every few minutes, there'd be another pod and you just hop right in, and that the Easter Bunny will take your ticket when you get on the in the pod. But that's listen, the answer will never be yes if you don't say yes. I mean, it'll never work if you don't give it a try. There's a saying there, I just can't think of it. 100 events, 19 days, one epic food fest. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience. That is this August. What if you could find a way to get forgiveness of the thousands of dollars on your federal student loans and lower your monthly payment in the meantime by half or more? Kaplan Law Firm has spent the last 3 years doing just that for our listeners, for their clients burdened by student loan debt. Let Kaplan Law Firm help you. Call for a consultation, 312-294-8989. Write this number down, 312-294, as in the tri-state, 8989, as in not 90-90. Don't waste another dime paying too much for your student loans. Kaplan Law Firm is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the U.S. Bankruptcy Code. In our studio is James Hambleton. He's the dashing assistant professor of civil and environmental engineering at Northwestern University, who knows a little bit about this business of boring holes under the ground and putting tubes and tunnels in them. You know, when Elon Musk said his boring company will do this, I thought, well, what's the name of the company? I thought it was an adjective. I thought, what a terrible thing to say about your company. Say it's an awesome company. But it's called Boring Company. So you and I came up with what about, if they do 100 feet a day and divide that into so many days a year and so many feet to a mile, we're at a little over 3 years to get the thing dug.
Just to dig the hole in limestone, if that's the plan. I haven't seen this proposal. I don't know where they're going with it, but sure.
Okay, but I mean, to me, that's not a long time.
Yeah, no, it's...
That sounds doable to you.
It sounds doable in terms of just drilling the hole, but I think, you know, where we're going to run into problems if we do is in all of the stuff that goes with it. But,
so then you got to put the concrete around it, hold it up, put in tracks, snack stands, the whole thing. I mean, really, I didn't even think about that. I thought, oh, good, the tunnel's done. No, now we got to put the pod cars in there, right?
Right.
And stuff like that. Cheryl, this is John. What did you want to say? Hi, how are you?
Yeah, well, you did the math, but Elon Musk said in the interview, he made it sound like the whole project would be done in 3 years, like start to finish, is what he said in the interview yesterday.
Yeah, my guest is making a crooked face about that.
But I personally find the whole thing terrifying. I don't think you'd ever get me in it because you're going to be, what, 100, potentially 100 feet below ground. There's no, like, skylights. There's no windows. And if that thing stops and you get stuck in there and they're driverless cars, that's like a Nightmare on Elm Street to me. There's no way.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. But maybe if it works and it's functional and it's safe, it's still terrifying to people. What are the thanks for the call, Cheryl. Let me just pursue that for a second. What are the chances that something like that collapses when you're way down there?
Oh, a deep tunnel, no problem.
Really?
Even shallow tunnels. I mean, like I say, we know how to build it. The most surprising thing for me is that we're having a conversation about how long it will take and how much it'll cost. I think actually this happens a lot. We're building lots of tunnels all around the world and other places, so this is not an uncommon sort of a problem. What is definitely different about this one is the proposal to have these interesting contraptions inside, which you're going to get more insights from other
right. So we're not just moving wastewater or
right.
stuff. We're putting people in comfortable air-conditioned vehicles down there. But again, technologically, that doesn't sound unreasonable to you, too. That could be done as well, right?
Yeah, it could be done. And I don't think there's a risk of collapse. Yeah.
Okay, good. Rich, you're on double. Good. Hooray. actually, you know what? I'm out of time. Well, listen, let's continue to follow this. I want you to continue to research it. Be my expert. You will receive no pay for this assignment.
Like so many things professors do, actually.
Welcome to Talk Radio. So we'll stay in touch on this, and maybe as more details come out, I'll reach out to you.
That'd be my pleasure, John. Happy to come in again.
Well, we sure appreciate you making the time to take the... What did you take down? The brown line?
The purple to the red.
Purple to red.
And I didn't complain about the travel time, right? That was a bit
yeah.
of good infrastructure.
Well, it's because you were not driving down Lakeshore Drive. In fact, we'll get you traffic and weather and the news and all of that next. James Hambleton, Assistant Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Northwestern University. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, John.